Working our way through the book of Ruth, and we've come to the fourth chapter in verses 11 and 12. The Lord willing, next week we'll complete our study. The scene is at the gate of the city of Bethlehem. Boaz has gone to the gate and declared that he is prepared to redeem the land that belonged to Elimelech, and he will marry Ruth. And now the elders and the people of the gate of the city respond as they are gathered there in that place. Verses 11 and 12. All the people who were in the court, that is the gate, and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. May you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman." Here is the blessing of God that the elders particularly pronounce upon Ruth and Boaz. At the end of each service, on a regular basis, I guess we'd say, the pastor, at least the pastor in this congregation, raises his hands and looks at each of you and says something like this: "And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be very gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace." As I've done that, I've observed something curious. This has especially been the case when I've been in another congregation, because you all are used to me by now after several years. Well, maybe a little used to me. And it's especially the case as I've been to conferences. And I've raised my hands and very purposefully pronounced the benediction, and I've had quizzical expressions come back to me. Does this man actually believe, this is kind of the message, does this man actually believe that something's taking place here? He's so intent and purposeful in what he's doing. Is there actually interaction now between the pastor and the congregation, and actually between God and the congregation as this blessing and benediction is pronounced? Well, I happen to believe that there is. And I happen to think that is part of our coming together for worship, as God Himself interacts with us and indeed does bless us. And the blessing is not only from me. And in our text this morning, as the blessing is pronounced upon Ruth and upon Boaz, the blessing is not just from the elders in the gate of the city. It is a blessing from heaven. And that's why I've titled the sermon this morning the way I have: The Benediction of Heaven. And I think that's exactly what we have. Look again at our text, if you would, please. "And all the people who were in the court and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. And may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman.' May the Lord bless you." May He do it. The scene again is at the gate of that city, the little hamlet. And that's what Bethlehem was, a little hamlet. And the name Bethlehem means house of bread. And it's not inconsequential, is it, that our Lord Jesus came into this world in that little hamlet in Bethlehem, which is called the house of bread. And it is not inconsequential that our Lord Jesus later, as he ministered among the people, said to them, "I am the true bread which came down from heaven. Your fathers ate the manna which is in the wilderness and died. He who eats this bread will never perish." And of course the Pharisees were outraged that Jesus somehow considered himself coming directly from the Father and coming down from heaven, and that he likened himself to the manna of God, the true bread from heaven. And he came into the world in this little village, Bethlehem, the house of bread. And I say again, it's not inconsequential in God's providence that this was the case. And it's not inconsequential either, it seems to me, that the meeting and the blessing that we're talking about is in the gate of the city. The New American Standard Version says, "All the people who were in the court and the elders said." Literally, it says gate. And of course, the gate of the city was used as a place where judgments were made. There wasn't a courthouse in the middle of the town. And the gate of the city was the traditional place where the elders met to make judgments in cases of law which came before them. And so the translation has that flavor. It's the gate of the city. And it's the gate in this case of the city which has as its name the house of bread. The gate from which comes the bread of heaven. The bread of life. I think we need to get a hold of that picture, because a great picture is being painted for us. Please turn in your Bibles, if you would, back to Genesis 28 and the story which is there. Genesis 28, 10 through 17. And notice Jacob and his response to what takes place. Familiar story, at least it should be. Genesis 28:10. "Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and spent the night there, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. And the land in which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth. And you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you.' Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' He was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.'" Now, Jacob must have been pretty tired when he reclined on the ground. I don't think he even dug a hip hole, did he? He reclined on the ground and put a rock under his head. Not a very comfortable pillow. I wouldn't be able to sleep that way. I don't know about you. And he went to sleep and he had this dream, and a ladder from heaven to earth and the angels ascending and descending on the ladder. And we know from the first chapter of the book of John that the ladder is none other than Jesus Christ. Christ identifies himself as that ladder, as the one upon whom the angels are ascending and descending. And God says to Jacob, I'll be with you. And he repeats the covenant promise that had been given to Abraham and to Isaac. And when Jacob awakes, what does he say? What does he exclaim? Look at verse 17 again. He was afraid and he said, how awesome is the place. Now I want to tell you that the use of the term awesome here is a little bit more than dunking the ball in hoops, right? So there's a little bit more here, a little bit more emphasis, or winning the football game with a dramatic catch in the end zone. The term awesome has a little deeper meaning here. How awesome is the place? Why? This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. This is the gate, the entrance place into the inner precincts of heaven itself, and the place where God resides in His grace and mercy. It's the place where Jesus Christ is present, where the bread of heaven is present. It's the place where we enter in to get a taste of Him who came and who is to come. Those of you who have been with us on a regular basis know that one of my themes is that I really believe that this is the case, that as we are gathered together as God's people, as we come together and hear of Jesus Christ and look into the Scriptures and learn of Him, we are in that place of Jacob. We are at the gate of heaven. We are at the gate of the house of bread. We are at the gate of Bethlehem, as it were. The city where Jesus Christ manifests Himself and gives of Himself. We're there. This is none other than the gate of heaven, dear friends. This is none other than the house of bread and the place where Jesus comes to feed us. I like that. I really do like it, not just because I say it, but because I think the Bible teaches it. You are there. I think that's the emphasis. And this is the picture, it seems to me, that's given to us in Ruth. Turn back there, would you, with me, please? Verse 11, and all the people who were in the court, in the gate. See, that's us. We're there. All the people who were in the court and the elders said, we are witnesses. And we've talked about the fact that we are witnesses of the great things which Jesus Christ has done. May the Lord and the pronouncement comes. The elders in the gate of the city pronounce the benediction upon Ruth and Boaz. The Greek version of the Old Testament at this point translates the text a little differently. It says, all the people who were in the court said, we are witnesses. And the elders said, may the Lord make the woman. They began to pronounce the benediction. In other words, there was a distinction made. And I think that's probably actually what happened in the case, although it's run together in the Hebrew text. But the important thing for us to realize is that here the benediction is pronounced at the gate of the city, the entrance into the house of God. And there's significance to the benediction being pronounced. How so? Well, let's look at this passage in Numbers once again. Numbers chapter 6, and look at what God says to Moses about the benediction. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. Thus you shall speak well of them and bless them, Aaron. And you shall say these words, the Lord bless you and keep you. The keeping of God be with you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God bless you and keep you and cause the sunshine of his face to be upon you and transform you so that the countenance of the Lord will be lifted up upon you, so that you will be transformed into the very image of the Son of God. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." And then this comment: "So they shall invoke," literally put, my name, on the sons of Israel, and I will bless them." What a promise. "Thus you shall put my name on the people, and I will bless them," says God. The blessing, the benediction of heaven itself. See, this is what's happening in the gate of the city. How often, dear friends in Christ, we come together for worship. And we've said it many times, have we not? And as a pastor, I know this is the case. You have a long week. You come in from out of town at 9 or 10 o'clock on Saturday night. You go to worship on the Lord's Day morning. You go through the routine. Pronounce the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the... Go out the door. And yet, here we are at the gate of heaven under the blessing of God. And his promise is that when his name is put upon you and invoked, his promise is to bless you. That's his promise. Look at Ruth again. "All the people who were in the court and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. May the Lord make this woman, Ruth, like Rachel and Leah, wives of Jacob, who bore the sons of Israel, and out of whose womb came the church of God. May he be pleased to make you, Ruth, like these ladies, blessed of you." You go back and you read those narratives in Genesis and you find out that Leah bore Simeon and others, Reuben the firstborn. And Leah had six children Rachel bore two children, Joseph and Benjamin, who were prized of Israel. And out of them came a great nation. And also the two maids of Rachel and Leah. Strikes me that we do need to take this a little more seriously. The wedding ceremony begins at marriages instituted by God and is designed for the propagation of the race and the building up of the Church of Jesus Christ. How so? By the children of God's people. And such should be the case. And the blessing is, may it be the case in your life, Ruth and Boaz. And does it come about? Well, let's look in Matthew. Look in Matthew chapter 1. The genealogy of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at this more carefully next week, but just to get a taste of it here. The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. We're going to mention Tamar in just a moment. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David, the king. And so it was that the blessing of God was carried out. And may that blessing be carried out, the elders of the city say, so that your house, Boaz, is blessed as Jacob's house was blessed. And the Church of Jesus Christ is built on this basis, because out of this lineage not only comes David, but comes the Savior, out of the tribe of Judah, out of the lineage of David, from Ruth and Boaz. Praise be unto God. Is the blessing real? Is the benediction forceful? Is the prayer answered? In every respect. In every respect. And so is the promise of God. And then if you go back to Ruth again, may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both who built the house of Israel. And may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. May you prosper in Ephrathah. Ephrathah is another name for Bethlehem, an older name for the community. And to prosper simply means that your family will prosper. And may you have a name, it turns out. May you become, it says at the end of verse 11, famous in Bethlehem, New American Standard Version. May you have a name. May your name be settled in the land. And may a name be made for you in the land. Well, all we have to do is read a couple of verses and we know that the name of Boaz and Ruth was preserved. All we have to do is go into the New Testament and know that the name of Boaz and Ruth is preserved. And then verse 12, moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman. Tamar was a daughter-in-law of Judah. And you have to go back and read this story. Tamar lost her husband. And a brother came along and took Tamar as a wife. And he also died. And Judah said to himself, I'm not giving Tamar my youngest son. I'm afraid he'll die. And so Tamar played a trick on Judah, the father-in-law, and she played the harlot. And she subsequently bore a son by Judah, her father-in-law, because Judah refused to follow the law of God and give his son to Tamar. And that son was Perez. And it is through the household of Perez that the Christ comes. May your house be blessed, Ruth and Boaz, as the house of Perez. That's the blessing. And if we go into the New Testament again, we can see how the genealogy of Jesus Christ is worked through in this regard. Well, what are we to say about all of this for you and for me? Here's part of what we're to say, friends. We are heirs of Ruth and Boaz through Jesus Christ. And the blessing of heaven is upon us. You realize that? And the blessing of heaven is that the Church of Jesus Christ will never perish from the face of the earth. And as the blessing of heaven was upon Ruth and Boaz to be foundation stones in the Old Testament church, and through them Jesus Christ was to come, so it is the blessing of heaven is upon people like you and me, that through us, the Church of Jesus Christ is built and will never perish from the face of the earth. I think that's the meaning of the benediction. And it is translated from the gate of Bethlehem, the gate of that city of bread. And the blessing is translated from a blessing upon Ruth and Boaz to this place in this time where we are at the very gate of heaven. And we receive the oracles of God. And we receive the blessing of God and the benediction of God and the promises of God. Let's just see one way in which this is worked out in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. end of this great book of Matthew. Let's read verses 16 through 20. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And lo, I am with you always, disciples of Jesus Christ. I am with you always, says Jesus. I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You know, I wonder how we hear those words. Do you realize that Christ is saying to us as his disciples that he promises his presence with us? And I recognize that in this small auditorium there are people from different congregations present. But the promise is still the same, is it not? That he says to us, "I will be with you even to the end of the age." That he'll be with us. That's his promise. And when we, week by week, pronounce the benediction in this auditorium, "May the Lord bless you and keep you." What does that mean? That Christ is somehow absent and that he will not take the initiative to do exactly what he promises, to bless you and to keep you? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and lift up his countenance upon you. Does that somehow mean that Christ will be somewhere else and we're just pronouncing those words as if in a formula and then going about our business? No, I don't believe that at all. If I believed that, I'd go someplace else. I really would. I wouldn't be here. Because I think that what God says is that he will perform what he promises. And he says to the likes of me, "Put my name upon the people and I will bless them." And just like the church in the day of Ruth and Boaz was blessed of God by the elders in the gate of that city of Bethlehem, so it is that the church is blessed today through the ministry of his word in the assembly of the people as they are gathered at the very portals of heaven. And that's you and me. Do you catch the drift? Do you catch the wonder of it? And what's taking place? And I really believe, folks, that as we catch the Word of God here and the blessing of God here, that we can go forward as individual Christians and as Christian families and as a church and churches with a deeper confidence in who God is and what he's about in our own lives. I think that's one of the reasons we're here, even this morning. And so, the blessing of heaven is given. And part of that blessing is that through you and me, feeble though we be, the Church of Jesus Christ will be perpetuated and will not perish from the face of this earth. I thank God for that.
And I pray, dear friends in Christ, that you do too. Let's pray together now. Father, thank you for your blessing. Truly, without it, we are lost. Our minds do not have to go very far from this place and this time to think of tragedy and the lack of blessing upon lives. O God of heaven, as we are here with you, even at this time, at the gate of heaven, with your Son, Jesus Christ, be pleased to bless us. Be pleased to work in our lives. Be pleased to carry us forward in our families. Be pleased, O God, to carry us forward as a church and as churches that are represented here. Do your work. We pray. And thank you that we are not cast adrift on the sea of life, but can have confidence that we are in your hands and your blessing is indeed upon us. Hear us. In Jesus' name. Amen.